Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bohl, on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now with our man Frank Bohl. He's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Dennis and his incredible staff, 25 years. Locally owned and operated, that's Family Leisure, serving Kansas City with the absolute finest when it comes to family and fun. It's where family and fun comes together. I will tell you, be careful. It is an absolute playground. It is absolute paradise at Family Leisure. If you don't go in there and have at least 10 things that you want to come away with, I don't know.
Then what the hell is wrong with you?
There's something wrong with you, or you got everything. I mean, it is such a spectacular place. I love it. I got my poker table there. We play game night with the family, of course, with the fellas. Whenever we get through the pandemic, looking forward to playing some poker on it, but we use it all the time as a family to play board games and card games and everything. Comes through big time. Looks fantastic as well. Thanks to all the staff out there as they guided me through a process of me for 2 or 3 years. Finally saying, yep, let's go. Let's do it. They've been great. Staff is great. They'll help you with any questions you got. It's where I got all my patio furniture. Whether you want spas, hot tubs, grills, Gorilla basketball goals, where we got our basketball goal. If you got a young basketball player and they need to be doing some shooting, get that Gorilla basketball goal in ground. They can help you get it delivered, help you get it installed, but just fantastic. Lower it up and down. Great glass backboard for the right bounce that kids are going to be used to playing on in the gyms and everything. It's just a great, great piece of equipment. So sturdy. You can get them. They're the lead dealer for the Gorilla basketball goals. Trampolines as well. You know, you're looking for outside stuff. Fire pits as it's getting chilly. Yep, they got the fire pits as well. And, of course, everything for the man cave. It is absolutely incredible. Go see them. Family Leisure. Find them online at familyleisure.com or call them with any questions. They love to answer questions. 913-888-7727. And, of course, free shipping on orders over $40. That's in effect as well. And if you mention 810, mention the program, save even more. Save even more. Great people. I'm very thankful for the folks at Family Leisure and their partnership with Sports Radio 810 WHB for a couple of decades now. Family Leisure, K10 and Ridgeview, online at familyleisure.com. And, of course, always thankful to talk to the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bohl. Frank, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you and the family? Everybody getting ready for Thanksgiving? And are you still – I know you're still sheltering in place, basically. So not much as far as family's concerned in for the holiday?
Yeah, I don't need to go too far into it, but you know,
no, I understand. Kind of I understand.
We're sticklers for the rules, so
sure.
Yeah, we're home. We are looking forward to, dropping off some stuff at my mom's.
That's nice. And be nice.
We are going to do. It looks like there's going to be some kind of driveway dessert exchange.
I like that.
At the in-laws.
Nice.
So trying to, at least see everybody. Can't get together. It's always Thanksgiving's always a great time. I'm very fortunate that I've got great in-laws, right? You know, you always hear about how you, the damn in-laws. I'm very blessed with great in-laws. And my mother and father-in-law are absolutely spectacular. And they always invite my mom to everything, you know. It sucks. But, I light at the end of the tunnel, man. Vaccines coming that look good. Just got to hunker down and do what we can until we get there. But, yeah, it's going to be a different Thanksgiving, trying to take it all in. I mean, that's one of the things I've said to my kids. I'm like, look, I know it sounds weird, and I don't know how much resonates with a 10- and 14-year-old, but look around and pay attention to what's going on, because hopefully, historically, this will never happen again. And, it's a unique event in our history, and not only do you want to do your part, but it's going to be something that's going to shape your life and shape your approach to how you, you know, handle problems. Hopefully, for most of us, it'll make us deal with, you know, smaller problems much better because we've been through a big problem, right? And hopefully we'll be better people coming out the other end. That's about all I can say. I don't know how you slowly slid the soapbox under my feet. But all good here, and I hope everything's great with the Bulls. You know how we love the Bull family.
Oh, yeah.
I hope all the kids and all the grandkids and the family are all doing well on your end as well.
Everybody's good, and, you know, the kids will remember because it wasn't like a, you know, a one-week thing. It's been since March. They've been out of school. You know what I mean? They're going to remember. They'll have those stories. Instead of having those I walk to and from school uphill both ways stories, they'll have those,
right.
I was, you know, almost a year hunkered down in my home with my mom and dad learning school from the computer.
Yeah.
And the little kids, their children look at them like, what? What were you doing?
Yeah, exactly. My great aunt, Frank, passed away. She was kind of like my grandmother. She passed away at almost 101 years old. And I think it was the spring/summer of 07, because I know my oldest had been born. And, you know, so you figure, you know, she was born in 06 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And grew up in Newton, Kansas, right on a farm. I would hear stories of driving the mules, you know, to town.
That's right.
That's how far back. She went through the Depression. I don't ever remember her talking about the Spanish flu, which she would have been roughly, you know, 10 years old.
Yeah, she would have remembered. Yeah.
But I know the Depression made her exceptionally frugal. Like God bless her, I remember about age 35, the birthday check went from $5 to $10. You know, like that was a lot of money in her mind, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say to my mom, I'm like, you know, Mom, you know, I was getting twice this to mow grass, like, you know, 20 years ago. Like, not when I was 35, but when I was a teenager, and I'd get a $5 check at Syracuse. I'm like, Mom, what am I supposed to do with this? She's like, hey, your Aunt Dorothy came from a time with the Depression where that's a lot of money. And it kind of resonated with me then. I was like, okay, I get it. You know, it shaped how she was. But you know what? She died at 101 years old and had saved enough money to where she lived all the way to 101 and never had to leave her house, you know, until the end when medically she had to leave. And, like, that always shaped her perspective. And so I was thinking about it with my kids. I'm like, what is it, like, what's going to be their takeaway from having gone through this? And you know what? I came up with it yesterday. You know what it is?
Uh-uh.
Having been through this pandemic and having learned from their parents, they, too, are going to hoard five big Costco things of Charmin and be ready to go no matter what, like, yep, their parents have done during this. They are never going to want for Charmin in their life, Frank.
Extra soft double ply. We got it. We got it hoarded. It's in the basement. It came from Grandma from back in 2020.
Yeah. And Purell.
If you didn't and stock Purell up on Charmin and you're like, right, and you're bad-mouthing the hoarders, hey, that's fine. And I'm your guy. You can bad-mouth me. But, like, the cold and flu season they said was coming, and when they started taking the restrictions off, and we never did get, like, seven at once, but just every time we made a run, you know, to the big box store, and then even when we go to Hen House all the time, just grab a package of Charmin.
Yeah,
we are ready.
Get one, just
we
one more.
We are ready
just
with
in
the
case.
Charmin.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Well,
just in case.
Well, the one thing my son, Grant, who is a plumber, right? And
yep,
he runs a crew. And he said the greatest thing that ever happened to the plumbing companies are the Clorox wipes, because everybody puts them in their toilet.
Oh, yeah.
He's
been in business for a long time.
I'm running around like a wild man pulling Charmins out of toilets. I went, oh, my gosh. That was classic.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
He said, wow. He said the most amazing thing is how many times they've gone back to the same residence.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh,
I'm
my
sure
gosh. So he sure said, especially ones with kids. You know, they'll just do it, and they'll be like, oh, it's like toilet paper. Boom, gone. Into the toilet.
So I can only imagine. I need to call him and ask him. My buddy Tay travels with Charmin, right? Like, he is like, There will be nothing but Charmin. He first thing he packs when he travels is Charmin. So I can only imagine
you gotta be kidding.
How many packages of Charmin are at that man's house.
He actually, when he goes on a road trip, he brings Charmin?
Yes. He Seriously? Packs a roll of toilet paper. Seriously.
You gotta be kidding me. What in God's name
no.
for?
And there are no apologies Charmin. Given from him. In fact, his view of the world is that you're an idiot if you don't pack the Charmin.
What is wrong with you for not packing
what
that?
What kind
stuff?
Of hotel is he staying in?
He stays in nice hotels.
They usually have two ply.
He's no, he's you know. Oh well, you gosh, know Tay.
Funny. Yeah,
you,
I know.
You know Tay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I never knew
no,
that.
No.
It's funny about people.
There are no. Yeah, he
people
was telling us that at dinner one night. There,
crazy.
There are no apologies for the pack for the fact that the first thing that he packs is Charmin.
God, that's funny. I never heard of that before.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Maybe if you're going on a camping trip, you're going to a dispersed campground somewhere.
No.
Maybe you want some Charmin.
No.
But
and you know what? I have to admit that as I sit here, I was like, that's not a bad idea. Like, that was my reaction.
Hey, you've been home too long. You want to get back in here to work sometime soon? Come on.
I'd like to laugh, but I'm writing that crap down.
He told me this, like, he told us this, like, a year ago, and he was going through it, and I was like, you're insane. What are you talking about? And then I took, like, two more trips, and I'm like, Tay would not be sitting here without the Charmin. Tay would not be cursing this crappy toilet paper the hotel has given us. Because Tay would be ready to rock and roll.
Right.
And I'm like, I've been like, that guy is one smart guy.
Wow.
I always knew he was a bright guy.
There you
but,
are.
Like, he has reverse engineered this thing as well, man. He is right on course.
I did something. I know we're off topic, but that's okay for a minute.
For a minute.
We're talking about toilet paper, Frank.
We're fine.
We begin
no,
off
right.
topic.
No. That's what I meant. I just want to stay off topic for a minute. I did something today that I've never done before. I deep fried turkeys.
I saw your post.
Did you see the post?
Yes.
Did
Why the, didn't you bring one here?
Seen the pics? That's a good question.
You had three.
I had two.
Oh, I thought I saw three.
Only had, you
I saw
three
fries.
You deep fried. Wait a minute. Thanksgiving
do
is tomorrow.
Yes, I know that. Yeah, you deep fried the turkeys today. This is a guy who I play golf with on weekends. Okay, his name's Jeff Hansen.
Okay.
Great guy. And he just has this little get-together every year before Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving. And he invites all the guys out and says, hey, you want a deep fried turkey? I've got three deep fryers. Bring them on out. And we just go out and the guys stand around and BS and have a great time and do the whole deal. And he dunks them in there. It's about 3 minutes a pound, and it's like a production line. It was incredible. Last year I went out there, I didn't take a turkey like an idiot. Don't ask me why. I don't remember.
It was BYOT, and you forgot.
I forgot to bring my own turkey. And then so this year I took two turkey breasts. Not the whole turkey, but you can do.
You've always said you're a breast man.
I'm a breast man.
Especially
and you
when
can,
they come in pairs.
Yep. Thank you very much. It came in pairs. You know what? It was Freudian today. I brought two turkey breasts. I didn't bring the whole bird.
Go ahead and figure out how Curtis is a foot guy figures into this.
Yeah, never mind. I don't want to know. Okay. Say Bomba socks or something. No, never mind. So I did it, and it was great. And one of the guys brought a turkey to deep fry, and then we all ate off of it so we could taste it and you know, let them know what it was going to taste like. And it's just, it's
How
wonderful.
Was it?
It was, they're great. Very moist.
Yeah. If you know, someone knows how to do it right,
yes,
it's fantastic.
Yes, they just know what to do. Got the peanut
I've
oil.
Only,
and then
I've only
the,
had it once.
Then the rubs, you know, they put on them and everything. It's just, it's great. They're
I've
great.
I've only had it once, and I got to admit, I was like, eh, tastes like turkey.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eh, just depends. So I did that today. So that's a first in my 73 years. 73 years of doing things. So
wow,
there
good
we
for
are.
You. Frank.
Yeah, it was
Still
great.
Not afraid to try new.
I'm
things.
Not afraid to try new things. You can teach this old dog any trick you want.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
that is. I am proud.
Except
of
the remote
Thank
control.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I do not know how to use a remote control. Yes, no. Or my phone.
The flip phone. The flip phone is still a
VCR flashing.
What's wrong with a flip
12
phone?
O'clock and is still got a Motorola StarTAC.
Both of my sisters, who are older than I am, still have flip phones. They still have little jitterbug
do
flip
they really?
Phones. Yes, both my older sisters do. So whenever I send them something, like I try to send them a picture of their grandkids, or Sarah and I are doing something, whatever, I'll send it to them, and they'll always come back to me, please send it to my email. because they can't get them on their flip phones.
I have one friend, Oakland Mike D. He you send him a text, you're going to get two words because he's got to go 444.
Oh, yeah. Five, exactly.
6,
yes.
6, 7, 7, 2, 3, 3. You know, he's still on the flip phone with the three letters per number.
Yeah, you got to hit them all before you get there. Yeah.
And like, sometimes I don't get a response and I forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, I sent him like four paragraphs.
Yeah.
Like, if the answer isn't yes, no, today, tomorrow, like, he's not bothering. He's not pecking out 7,400 clicks to write two sentences, right? It's just not happening. You're not getting that response.
Yeah, you would think you'd force them into calling you at that point, knowing that situation, you know?
He's a busy man. He's a busy man. Coaching, working, family. There he's a busy are. Man. He's not going to call.
We need more than a flip phone, then.
I know. I told him that. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, like, the best thing I did, my mom wanted a new phone. I said, listen, you're getting the cutting. Oh, no, that's too advanced for me. I'm like, no, you get the most advanced because it's the simplest. When you get the kind of advanced, it sucks. It's not intuitive. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. The bells and whistles make it easier. So
there you go.
Best thing I did on my Sprint, well, now T-Mobile phone that I got her. She, you know, I was like, you're going iPhone. Here it is.
Uh-oh.
Let's go. And the best is my 14-year-old sets things up on her phone.
Oh, jeez.
So, like, about every, you know, couple, well, not as often now, but back in the day, it'd be like every month or so, you know, tell your daughter she is the best. I'm using my calendar now. I'm like, I know. She's got
you know what day it is?
Yeah, that's how it works. That's
well, someone noted that there used to be a phone number you could call and get the time.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
It was UMB Bank.
1212 were the last
844.
Four. Yeah, it was UMB Bank. What was it? Was
think
it
was voiced by
anything or something?
It was 844, and then they always said 844-1212. But it was 844 and any number. And I believe the voice on it was Dan Hurst, longtime radio guy. I believe that was him way back.
Yeah.
It was a local bank did it, and you could call and get the time and the temperature. It's like, what? We used to actually
I remember
do that,
back in the day, yeah. Remember that?
As a 14-year-old me called that thing 15 times a day just because I could.
Two or three times, let's see, for two or three years while I was at Syracuse, and we may or may not have been taking bets out of a dorm room.
No, that wouldn't happen.
They had a thing called score. Like, there was no Sunday ticket where you could check all the scores, and there was no internet for you kids.
Dial it.
They had score phone.
Oh.
And score phone was updated every 10 minutes. And it had, like, you know, the wannabe Sports Center anchor. You've reached score phone. Brought to you by blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
With 13:27 to go in the third quarter, the Steelers lead the Bengals 13-10. Yeah, and we would sit there. We constantly were calling score phone in New York City to get, like, what the scores were on the games we weren't getting.
Yeah.
In Syracuse, so we knew what was going on.
40 years ago, there was dial it Nationals 900-976-1313, and I thought that was great, and I called that thing 4 or 5 times, and then I didn't realize it. You know, 14, you don't realize. Oh, that's actually a toll call
it was. Yeah,
and the phone bill, first phone bill comes, it's like $60.
Did you remember?
Like, what the hell are you doing?
What is?
Oh,
this?
I'm calling to get the score of the Blue Bonnet Bowl five times, Mom.
Yeah,
that's
sure
what I'm
you
doing.
Are. Right.
No, but Scorephone was free.
Oh, wow.
Scorephone was free. They had sponsors.
Mm.
So they gained the game.
Well, you know, just how much more it has changed with all the instant information is, remember the guys in the press box? They'd be on the phone at the end of first quarter, and the network would be calling them on the phone to update your game from your area. And you go, hey, at the end, and everybody in the in the press box
Stringers.
Going, shh. Shh, be quiet. Knock it off. What are you doing down there?
You'd have to go back to a different room.
Yeah, you have
it.
To go back somewhere. Yeah, with 3 minutes
we've
and
all done
20
that
seconds left in the first half, Chiefs on top of the Jets.
We'll end this
days.
Topic of discussion with the fact that Curtis really got a beating when they found out, wanted to know why he was kept calling 1-800-LONELY-LADY. You know, what are those bills all about?
I don't think you're really a stringer, are you, sir? That's an airline luggage tag. That's not a credential. How'd you get in here? Where are your pants?
All right. Frank?
Yes.
Just real quickly here.
Okay.
Just squeeze in a little bit of a sports in the midst of the subject matter that we've got going on. What do you expect? What do you want to see out of this Chiefs-Bucks game?
Pass rush. Okay, number one. Got to get Brady off his mark. If they don't,
they need to do that just to get some heat off their backs too.
Well, that and the fact if you don't get Brady off his mark, he'll beat you. I mean, you're going to lose. If you don't get him off his mark, he'll dink you and dunk you to death. And they'll maintain ball control and do everything that you got to do against the Chiefs in order to win a football game. And then the offensive line needs help. I mean, Mahomes is still running a little bit. Him being able to get out of his, get out from behind that. But I just think the offensive line is, just a little bit porous. He hasn't made it too obvious because he has such great escapability and can do so much on his feet. But, after Joe Burrow's injury, if you're a Chiefs fan, just go, good Lord. Don't let that happen to our quarterback. You know what I mean? So I think Wisniewski's going to help. He'll be back. I'm not sure if he's – will he be available for this game?
I
don't think so. He's a sit-out a week, right? Okay.
That's been out there brewing for a little while, and I think it's because he's not quite healthy yet. So
yeah,
I think
right,
don't
okay.
want him to practice for a week
right.
or two.
I think he'll help eventually when he's there, but they really need to solidify that. But and I'd like to see the running game go a little bit better. But when you got that kid playing quarterback, you talk about it all the time, taking the ball out of his hands isn't always a great idea either. I mean, you've got the best player in the league, so make sure he is the guy. But you've got to keep him a little bit off balance, a little bit of a running game. If they're not afraid of the running game, then they can sort of man up back there and not man to man, but just gear up and get seven guys back, rush four, and just keep going that way, and sort of hold you in check or try to hold you in check.
I think we're going to find out a lot in this Bucks game. Like if the Chiefs win, but win, 37-34, then there's confirmation that the defense has problems. I am open to the fact that Carolina was a look ahead to the bye situation and that – excuse me.
Bless you. Twice.
That the Raiders are just a bad matchup, right? That they
right.
just – because their offensive line is really good. They've got the pieces that and as they should be, right? For 3 years they've been building this team to beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
So if 3 years from now they can present problems, congrats. Excuse me.
Which is nothing to sneeze at.
But exactly. It was nothing to sneeze at. I think if they hold the Bucks to 20 or less, then we feel like I can feel comfortable saying, hey, they had a bad day against Carolina, and the Raiders are a bad matchup, and this defense is still a top-10 defense, like for winning teams, top-10 defense, and is one that is not a weakness. I'll feel a lot better like that. But if they give up a bundle of points to the Bucks, even in a win, then I start to say, you know what? They kind of peaked at the Super Bowl. They built to it, peaked at the Super Bowl, and they were still really good, but they've been coming down ever since, and they've now got problems. People have figured them out, and, they've got some issues here.
Well, I think people have a better idea of what to do. Your problem is, like any other sport, you've got to have your own people who can, execute that game plan to hold the Chiefs in check or whatever. You have to have the players to be able to do that. You've got to have the quarterback and the running backs and, tight ends and wide receivers. You've got to have defense stout against the run, can get a good pass rush with just four guys. You've got to have those players in place. Not a lot of teams do. The Raiders seem to be, like you said, they are. That's what they're building for. They're building to compete and beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West. And other teams in the NFL are getting a little bit better of a game plan to play against the Chiefs because they now know Patrick Mahomes a little bit better or a lot better. They know the receivers. They know what they like to run. They can try to scheme and try to keep up with you. The problem is most teams in the NFL can't keep up with them because they just don't have the physical ability from their players to be able to do it. They're just not that good to be able to do that. And when we look at it, too, the Chiefs in the last year, what are they, 18-1 in the last year, including the playoffs? I think they've lost one game. So no matter if teams are getting close and one team beat them, the Raiders, that they still are just the dominant force in the National Football League, averaging over 23 points a game and, winning all those football games and you not being able to hold him down. And it's just they are a premier team. But that doesn't mean other teams aren't catching up to who they are.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we got to keep in mind is that, you know, everybody's, you know, you got to constantly be reinventing yourself so that you're hard to catch up to. And I think Andy Reid's that guy, right? I think he's reinvented himself all along. Are the Bucs a team that had something new with Tom Brady and now they've been caught up to the last couple of weeks? And they're more of the 9-7, 10-6 team than the 7-2 team that had people thinking, oh, my goodness, is this team going to win, you know, 12, 13 games?
Yeah, he really looked, I don't know, really looked slow, old, whatever, in the last game. But he was being harassed. He got hit early, hates to get hit. You hit him early and you get him off his mark. He is just not, he can't get out of his own way now. I mean, he's very slow.
Which oddly has always been the best way to get to, I mean, the 2007 Giants beat him by doing that.
Back.
It's kind of always been his thing.
Yeah, you're right, Curtis.
Yeah.
You're totally right. And did you see when he was trying to come back? And he would go down and get a score even after some of these throws. But, like, he decided quickly he wanted to go out to Leonard Fournette. And Fournette had kind of checked up, and he threw it out in front of him and missed him.
Yes.
He had another one that he decided quickly, okay, I'm coming to the check down. And it was one of the receivers out on the left flat, and he threw it like 3 yards short.
That was Fournette again, I think, wasn't it, where he threw it real short on him? It was Fournette twice, I think, once, where Fournette actually dropped it.
Well, there was a wideout, too.
And then he had Fournette on a quick read,
I think.
And he threw it so hard
yeah.
that Fournette had no chance to catch the ball.
Yeah. Godwin had a first down. It was a third down conversion. Godwin on the one I remember was to the right, and he was there, and he just threw the ball 3 yards past him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, no, I remember that one, but there was one on the left that he just threw way short.
Yeah.
And he wasn't under pressure, whether it was phantom pressure or whatever. He just turned and buried it short. And I'm like, all right, is that what it looks like when you get old? Like sometimes you go to send it, and because, you know, you're aging, it takes everything, total perfection of every element to make a good throw. Like, I don't know. I just saw some throws. I'm like, those are – fairly easy throws to make. Those are throws Mahomes doesn't miss. Is this what 43 looks like for quarterbacks?
Well, they are throws that he never missed before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just have never seen that from him as well. So I know we jumped on in the beginning. He was doing real well, and the New England Patriots were doing so poorly. You're going, it's quarterback. It's not the coach. You know? And then all of a sudden, New England started to put together a little bit. Not great or anything, but starting to try to piece things together. And then all of a sudden, Tampa Bay with Brady playing quarterback didn't look so good. So you got to love the combination. You know, it's just like we say, well, what if the Chiefs had taken Deshaun Watson instead of Patrick Mahomes? You know, what if the Bears had taken Patrick Mahomes? I just don't think he would be the same quarterback he is with Andy Reid. So I just think it's a perfect combination. I still think he'd be very good. I just don't think he'd be the guy he is now. I don't think he would have been the MVP, and I don't think he would have won the Super Bowl without Andy Reid.
Mahomes?
Yes.
Hmm.
I think it depends on what team and what coach.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said if he had Matt Nagy,
yeah.
or if he ended up in Houston.
I bet he could win one with Mike Tomlin.
Oh, I think he definitely win one with Mike Tomlin.
Because he'd always have receivers to throw to,
exactly,
for sure.
Yeah, and they'd always have
I'm going to stand up for Matt Nagy. Tomlinson sucks, and Foles, like, is Alex Smith in a different way. He'll gamble, higher risk, higher reward, but he's still the same level of Alex Smith. And Trubisky's no good. We don't know what Matt Nagy is
right.
when he's got a quarterback.
Right. True.
So I'll stand up for him. So let me ask you this question, because that's one of the things we kind of did yesterday or Monday. I can't remember when it was. If how many quarterbacks could you put on this team and they'd win a Super Bowl?
I think you put a couple.
I think Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I think you could reel off more guys and win a Super Bowl under Andy,
yeah.
coaching him to the ability to what his abilities
would
be. I think Deshaun Watson would have a great chance. I think Lamar Jackson might have a great chance because he would use him a little bit differently. Oh, I do. I do.
Lamar Jackson's just a better running Alex Smith. You got to create everybody high school wide open for him. No chance.
Okay. Well, you know what? Andy has a tendency to scheme guys wide open. Okay, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. Just saying.
It's mostly the guys who have won it.
Yeah.
And then you add.
Well, then you add some of the younger quarterbacks.
Maybe a couple others.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm saying. I really think that we need to understand that Andy Reid, and same thing with Bill Belichick, right? You can go back and say, okay, take Brady off, put how many quarterbacks could you put in there? Does he win all those championships? I think the reality is, so let's say this. You put Patrick Mahomes on the 30 other teams. How many, 31 other teams, how many of them win championship? How many of them are capable of winning a championship?
New England, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the list is longer than the other list.
Yeah, right.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Sure,
that's all my
point. And it's not close.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, right, absolutely. Because you're putting him in a certain coach, too. You know, you're not just throwing him on a team.
If you put Mahomes on the Bears, all of a sudden Allen Robinson, he's going to throw to Cole Kmet from Notre Dame, who was the first tight end taken, I think, in the late second, early third. I guarantee you he gets way more balls than he's getting right now. I think that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson suddenly is doing things well. I think if Matt Nagy has Patrick Mahomes, they're the best team. They're better than the Packers, right? And likewise, if the Lions have Patrick Mahomes, you know, they're a 10-6 team. They're a playoff team. I don't know if they win the division, but they're a playoff team. If the Vikings have Mahomes, they can win the division.
Right. I just think there's very few who could win the Super Bowl. See what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think the Rams go from a team that I think is going to lose in the divisional.
Oh, to a Super Bowl
team.
Either the wild
card or divisional.
I'm talking about like teams like the Vikings and the Lions and those teams.
But I don't think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to get there. But I think if they had Patrick Mahomes, they're the favorite.
Oh, that, without question.
I think he makes.
I agree with that totally.
At least 20 and maybe more than that immediate playoff teams.
Yes.
With just his addition.
Just his presence.
There's half a dozen teams that
I think that number is 25 to 30.
Wow.
I think he's that important. I think if he goes to the Jets, they're fighting. They got a shot if things go their way of being 10-6 for sure. I don't know that there's any team you put him on that he doesn't win at least 8 games.
Because he's just never bad.
Yeah.
It keeps stretching out, but he just never has a bad game. His bad games are mediocre to good games for almost every other quarterback in the league.
He gets an interception this week because the defensive back fell down. The wide receiver, Marcus Robinson, didn't run right. He was supposed to come back.
I think the wide out.
And then the defensive back gets up, turns around, and there's the ball sitting right there in his lap.
Nice play, but still.
Yeah.
I think DeMarcus Robinson made 2 adjustments. And I think the offense is you got to read it and you make your decision and you stick with it. And he went, I'm going this way. No, wait, I'm going this way. And that's what cost him. I absolutely think that pick was on DeMarcus Robinson. And I think the first pick was on the fact that he was trailing 2 scores against the Raiders and it was 4th down.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, get some Frank opinions. Frank Bowl is here. He's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure.
The program with Soren Petro.
Curtis.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Who are the 2 starting quarterbacks the last time the Chiefs played on Thanksgiving Day?
Last time the Chiefs played on Thanksgiving Day, they played the Lions?
Nope.
Or the Cowboys?
Nope.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, they had
this is recently.
They had the first Thursday night game here at Arrowhead.
Yep.
What Lamar Hunt's dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the year that he passed.
He died, yeah.
He passed away less than a month later.
Who did they play? So, Matt Cassel?
2006.
Oh, Damon Heward?
Good guess. He played that. It actually was Trent Green.
Trent Green started. Okay, I didn't know if it was when Trent was hurt or not.
Against Jake Plummer.
Oh, my God.
Chiefs won 19-10. I remember because I was at that game and John Fogerty played the halftime, and it was quite the show.
Was it really?
Yes. That guy can entertain a crowd. At least he could in 2006.
Yeah, not bad. We were playing for Jazz, great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Three locations to get that great Cajun food. That's Independence, I-70 and 291. That is the original by the KU Med Center, 39th and State Line, and out by the Legends. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. You can find them online at jazzkitchen.com. Get it to go right now, jazzkitchen.com. Time for some frank opinions. Okay, where do we begin?
Will your Thanksgiving gathering be smaller this year because of COVID, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, and yes is going to win in a landslide.
What percentage do you think yes got?
I'd say landslide. I think it's going to be like 65-35.
I'll say 66.
88-12.
Yes.
Yes.
I got a math one right. He didn't ask for a percentage.
Yeah, he did.
Ask for a percentage.
I did afterwards. Once it was clear that both were yes, I suppose.
No, the tie line clearly dropped going to Petra. Okay, so he gets that one.
All right.
Excuse me.
You didn't ask for a percentage,
what
did
happened?
You?
I said what percentage number? I don't know if it was going to be an official point. Yeah. Anytime you both go,
harder. I would have tried harder to make it.
I thought you changed it. Went, okay, give me a percentage.
You know what?
Yeah, I said, give me a percentage.
I don't care. I'll spot you one every week, Frank. No, I'm not worried. Let's go.
Man, it's confident. Are you the host or guest this Thanksgiving?
I am the guest, but I would say most people say host. Well, I don't know why I'd even say that.
I'll go host.
I'm going to say host.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
It is host 61-39, but I would bet that in previous years it might be the other side, maybe not to that extreme. I think that is a reflection of the previous question.
Yeah.
88% are having smaller gatherings, so more people are doing their own Thanksgiving as opposed to going to somebody else's house.
I think you're right.
I bet most years there are more guests than hosts. How could it not be that way?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be because you have more than one person there. So
I think this is the number of people who are doing Thanksgiving on their own this year, driving that number up.
Any math there? I see how it is. Listen, just say you like Frank better.
Well, it's 88-12. I usually will throw.
Starting to feel sorry for me.
If I say percentage, think north of 80, generally, or at least north of 70.
Well, then don't say percentage anymore because that's just dumb if you're going to tell us how it works.
That's a good point, actually.
Go.
Best Thanksgiving side, stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole.
Hold it. It says stuffing.
Stuffing or dressing, if you prefer,
yeah,
as my mom did.
Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, and green bean
casserole.
You got to go first.
I'm going to say mashed potatoes.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, mashed potatoes and gravy for sure.
43% said stuffing. 36% said mashed potatoes, 13 said green bean casserole.
Only because it's the only time you have it. And you want to know why it's the only time you have it? Because it's not that freaking good.
Sucks.
Especially the bag stuff.
Really made well.
Well, I will say that stuffing was always my one of the great memories of my childhood and of my late mom, was that I got to pull the bread apart and pull the chicken apart. And actually that was she let me help every Thanksgiving. And every time I think of the stuffing, I think of being able to actually put that stuff together as a kid. Yeah, so I'll always have a soft spot for that, but you're right.
If it isn't homemade, it's not very good. And I always remember is they stuffed the turkey with it.
Yes.
That's why it was called stuffing, obviously, and cooked it with the turkey. Then it got the turkey juices in it. It was a lot better than any of that other stuff.
I have no doubt that your homemade stuffing was fantastic, but I will just tell you as a rule of thumb, they sell it in a box because they do it better than you.
Hey.
And most homemade stuffing sucks because you get somebody who's like, oh, I love celery. They put a bunch of celery in.
Raisins.
It sucks. Or they don't put it in. There's not enough gravy or whatever the sauce is, and it sucks. I have no doubt that is a great family memory, and I certainly respect that. However, most homemade stuffing sucks.
I won't tell my mother you said that.
The logic also of, oh, well, it comes in a box. They must do it better for you. Have you ever had homemade macaroni and cheese versus out of a box? Way better homemade.
I haven't. Kraft, I'm not saying that they're number one with a bullet, but they're like number three. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
You know that Kraft macaroni and cheese is still under a box.
That's why
it's Kraft. No, and it's fantastic.
Five tons for a penny.
I will eat the cheese powder out of the can.
I'm stunned you're a fat ass.
Dad, what you eating? Cheese powder.
nothing better than cheese powder.
If I got into the cupboard and got the mac and cheese out, and there's like a, why do we have a box of just macaronis? You can expect to have orangey stuff on my beard.
There's five boxes of mac and cheese in the Petro pantry. They're all open without the cheese powder. Stuff.
Hiding in a closet. Secret shame of eating just cheese powder.
He comes in, his hands are all covered in cheese powder.
Let me check your fingernails, Dad.
I'll go you a step further since I'm doing low carb right now.
Oh, boy.
The kids have the mac and cheese. I can't wait. I try to get all of whatever's left over into the little container with as little sauce on it as possible, and then I take the finger and I get the sauce with my finger.
You are desperate.
Yikes.
You are
the Kraft mac and cheese is strong. I'm going to tell you something else.
Been around 100 years for nothing.
Scallop potatoes. So yes. You're going to make scallop potatoes?
Yeah. Yeah. Buddy
Don't bother. Don't bother. It's in a box and it's better. Don't jerk me around with your half-cooked potatoes.
But you always talk about how your wife is such a good cook, though, Saran. This logic makes no sense. If you're, all right, just get the box kind.
She is a fantastic cook, and I will tell you, the only you have not heard me say mashed potatoes, because she never makes scallop potatoes. She makes homemade mashed potatoes, and they're better.
Yes.
They're her mashed potatoes.
They've gotten better at the
garlic
mashed
potatoes
fake
are
ones,
so good.
Still better for the.
And
legit.
I am going to crush them tomorrow.
He's Hold ready.
It. What happened to low carb?
He's ready. What?
It's going right down the toilet.
Okay. Destroys
low carbs.
Low
tomorrow.
Priority tomorrow. All right. So, what kind of cranberry sauce? I skipped one. Marshmallows or no marshmallows on sweet potatoes?
Pass.
Oh, good Lord! No, thank you.
I said no.
Yeah.
When I put this out there, our friend Robert Glauber said, "Oh, dude, if you have the marshmallows, it will change your life." And I says, "I don't buy that. It will change your life, Kurt." He calls me K-Bolt.
K-Bolt.
Sounds like a doofus New York thing.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
You say no?
Exactly right. I say no.
54-46 marshmallows.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow.
I don't get it.
I can't help you with that.
What kind of cranberry sauce to eat? Canned or homemade?
It's got to be
out of the can. Or
I think a better question would be, do you pour it down the disposal or the toilet?
No, wait. The toilet is reserved for the Clorox wipes. Okay, don't put it in the toilet. All right.
But the answer is definitely canned, so you get that ripply
Yeah, you get the
can.
Slurp. And then you get to cut it. You get to cut it. You get little pieces, little round pieces out of the can.
56-44 canned.
Yeah.
That's a lazy,
you can get some strange
people.
Taste out of some of the homemade stuff.
That's true. If we can
That's
get
right.
Can actually
weird.
Fix it.
Just weird.
Validating my point.
Doing it
there
for
are
out of the
years.
Cans better
there
than
There are certain
they
foods
make.
That they have perfected. Don't waste your time screwing around with some half-assed home recipe.
Yes, okay. Especially for cranberries. This is a Jed special I like very much. If you had to take one thing from Snoopy's Thanksgiving feast to add to your own, what would it be? Jelly beans, buttered toast, popcorn pretzels, or ice cream sundaes?
Well, they'll probably answer sundaes, but jelly beans has got to be right up there, too.
So what are you going with?
I'll go with the ice cream sundae, since it's
what's the,
like
what's
an
the
ice
list?
Cream sundae.
Jelly beans, buttered toast, popcorn slash pretzels, ice cream sundaes.
Well, all of them are all carb fest, so they're all
they're so delightful right now, don't they?
Jelly beans are crap. Ron Reagan can have them. I got no interest in jelly beans.
I love jelly beans.
Buttered toast. Oh,
there you go again.
With real butter. Oh,
unless you got some jelly to go with it.
But I actually, what was it Frank said? That's what I was thinking.
Ice cream sundaes.
Yeah, the ice cream sundaes is going to win. Just because people like ice cream sundaes.
63%. 20% said butter popcorn pretzels. 11% said toast. And 5% said jelly beans.
Toast may not seem like a big deal until you haven't had it for 3 months.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I remember this flavor. With the real butter.
It smells so good.
Do you have to avoid politics at Thanksgiving dinner just to maintain the peace? Yes or no?
Not this year, I don't.
Oh hell yeah.
This year, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think there's probably you know, people on both sides both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm.
Yes is the answer this year.
Yeah.
54-46, a little closer than I would have thought.
Close, yeah. Well, it's been very, you know.
You bake your own pumpkin pie or buy it from a store?
Obviously, Saran, buy it from a store. Okay, obviously they got it down pat. Yes. Way better than anything you could do. Forget about it, okay? Buy it at the store.
You say buy it at the store?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 99% of the time you're right, because the Tippins pumpkin pie is absolutely phenomenal at the Hen House.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, everyone who can hear my voice, just go buy it.
Already bought my two.
And I'm by myself. You might be too late. My wife went down and picked up a French silk for the girls. The girls like the French silk, so she was at Hen House earlier today picking up the French silk Tippins pie.
If you're out west, give the one at 119 or College in Quivira a shot. They have a pretty good stock. You might have a chance there.
I don't want to shoo anyone out. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, like they take reservations and stuff on them because they're so popular and everything. But my wife, like, has been making praline pumpkin pies two at a time for 3 days, right? And she gives them to all her friends. And, like, I would really like her to stop because she becomes obsessive about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, hey, I'm making pies! Don't you see what I'm doing here? I've got an absolute factory going on. It is unreal what she is doing. And, like, her friends are already texting. She gave one to a friend yesterday for them to take to their Thanksgiving. They texted this morning that it was already gone.
Wow.
The whole pie was gone in less than 24 hours.
Oh, good Lord.
So my wife's praline pumpkin pie is the greatest pumpkin pie on earth. So the reality is my wife does it better, but for 99% of the population, they buy it.
Yeah, 57-43 buy. My favorite memory of pies as a kid, Mom would make about 10 of those pumpkin pies, cover the entire table with a sheet at night, and then the next morning figure out which ones the cats had walked in the night by, which ones had the paw prints in the pie.
Yeah.
It was covered, but you're like, oh, she got that one. And finally, what is Soren's favorite?
By the way, can we take a little bit longer with that statement that was just made there?
Mm.
Did you then consume the pies that the cats have been walking
on? The pies were covered with a sheet. Which, if we take like an actual bed, it would cover the pies because you knew the cats would get up there. And then when we get, and they're not, paw didn't actually go into the pie.
No way the claw could stick through the fabric.
Yes, we ate them.
Okay. Jed?
Cats don't harm anything. It's fine. My cats walk on the counter. I'm still alive. It's fine.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
And finally, another Jed special.
The only thing I know about pets and Thanksgiving is my mom makes a wonderful green bean casserole. She made a great green bean casserole. And one of our Dobermans, I grew up with Dobermans as a kid. One of the Dobermans got up and got to it and ate half of it out of the bowl on the counter.
That's wrong.
When we were supposed to take it over to family. That was my mom's contribution. Like, you have never seen 5 feet of rage like my mom unloaded on that Doberman. Oh, that dog. And that dog was 100 pounds. It was a giant Doberman. And it knew, it outweighed my mom.
Right.
And it was like, I have stepped in it like it's nobody's business.
Literally.
Oh, my God. It was like wetting on the floor. Like, oh, my Lord. She's like, you! My beans! A memory that is etched into my brain.
Finally, what is Soren's favorite Jewish holiday? Is it Hanukkah? Is it Yarmulke? Is it Yamaha? Or is it Kamara?
Oh my
Jed's
God.
Idea. I filled in the blanks.
Frank's got to go first.
Huh?
I know the answer, so Frank's got to go first.
I'll bet you probably do. It's got to be. I don't know. It's got to be one of the other ones besides Hanukkah. Give them to me. Give me the three again.
Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yarmulke, Yamaha, and Kamara.
It's Yamaha. Is it Yamaha?
It is. It. What I said. I don't know what the listeners are going to say, but I'm going to trust that enough people listened. It's Yarmulke.
Actually, they didn't apparently pay attention to the joke.
They didn't bite.
And they said Hanukkah 48%.
Oh, damn.
They should have known. What percentage of them only knew that one as the only actual, you know, they thought like there were three that they're like, these other two might be, but I know this is a Jewish holiday, so I'm going to say Hanukkah.
Yeah, 21% said Yamaha, 19% said Kamar, and only 11% said Yarmulke, which I actually managed to spell correctly.
Which is what I actually said.
Yes.
God, that's funny.
Good stuff.
So did I lose?
Of course.
Oh, no, you won by like four.
Okay, there you go. Still
I'm not doing this anymore.
You got to have a guy with a pencil on your side, Frank.
My self-esteem is taking a beating. I'm not doing this anymore. Got killed last hour. I wasn't on one of the top eight that they thought was one of your guests.
I had you written down.
I had Clean Scale and Lezak are in there, and I'm not in there?
Yeah, it was all of 810. Disappointed. All of 810. Yeah.
I don't care.
We will take a break. We'll find out how stupid I am on current events. It's called What in the World, Seren? It's next here in the program.
The program with Seren Petro.
Do the show, bitch.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Frank, what in the world, Seren? What do you got for me?
All right, buddy. Bad news, good news. What is the COVID positivity testing rate in the Kansas City metro right now?
I heard it was over 20%.
46.5%, almost one of every two tests coming back. Wow. But the good news, experts are now saying a COVID-19 vaccine could be distributed by this date.
January 1.
December 11th.
Wow.
How about that? One hour ago, Pennsylvania bars and restaurants had to cut off the sale of what? Keep
booze?
The crowds down. Yes, alcohol. And who will be Jeopardy's first interim host since the death of Alex Trebek?
Will Ferrell.
Ken Jennings, the biggest winner on the show.
Other
guys looking for it? Stephanopoulos, LeVar Burton, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Pat Sajak. Getting tired of spinning the wheel.
Will Ferrell doing his impression.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, what player holds the NFL record for touchdowns scored in a Thanksgiving Day game? Brought to you by Good Sense.